Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Steel.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A surprise visit as Ukraine marks 1 year since Russia's invasion.
President Biden has taken a surprise trip to Ukraine today, venturing into the capital of the war-ravaged country to meet with its president and to express solidarity as the Russian war enters its second year.
1 year later, Kyiv stands, and Ukraine stands. Democracy stands.
That's CBS's Stephen Portnoy reporting from Poland, where the president will meet with NATO allies tomorrow morning. Mr. Biden has promised another $500 million in military aid to Ukraine. Search crews are slowly clearing more buildings today that collapsed from a 6.4 earthquake in Turkey and Syria.
In the camp, everything's fine. We checked every, the tents. Everybody was fine.
But at least three people died. More than 200 others were hurt. An explosion at a plant in Ohio has landed more than a dozen people in the hospital near Cleveland.
I look over and I just see a plume of smoke and then the bigger explosion and then the ball of flame.
Fire crews are still working to put out flames there. Well wishes are pouring in for former President Jimmy Carter, who's in hospice care in Georgia.
Former President Jimmy Carter taught Sunday school at Maranatha Baptist Church here for decades.
The very last lesson he gave was on November the 3rd, 2019, talking about that he had no fears of leaving this earth and going to his heavenly place.
Church Deacon Zach Steele reflecting back now that Mr. Carter is under hospice care at his home. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Plains, Georgia.
Finally, an admission from New York Republican George Santos.
I've been a terrible liar.
That to talk TV host Piers Morgan is seemingly his first admission of straight up lying instead of previously saying he was embellishing his resume or stating what he called false claims. He's now blaming the demands of politics.
This wasn't about tricking anybody. This wasn't about Let me finish.
The whole thing was about tricking people.
Let me finish. It wasn't about tricking the people. This was about getting accepted by the party here local.
Matt Piper, CBS News, New York.
Santos is under investigation for possible fraud and ethics violations. Authorities have downgraded criminal charges against Alec Baldwin in New Mexico. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman.
Alec Baldwin is still charged with involuntary manslaughter, but prosecutors have now removed the firearms enhancement that could be significant if the actor is found guilty. The maximum penalty with the enhancement is 5 years. Without it, it's 18 months. Baldwin's accused of acting recklessly when a gun he was holding went off, killing cinematographer Helena Hutchins.
Baldwin claims it was an accident and didn't know the gun was loaded. This is CBS News.
Find tools for the job site or your own backyard at over 10,000 authorized local steel dealers. Find yours at steelusa.com.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. A memorial service is in the works for former University of Wisconsin-Madison Chancellor Rebecca Blank. During her time at the UW, she created full-ride scholarships for low-income students from Wisconsin and led the effort to enroll more out-of-state students. She died Friday from pancreatic cancer. Blank was 67. Republican lawmakers plan to craft their own state budget rather than work off the one Governor Evers proposed last week. They concede they'll have to increase spending, but will try to keep it lower than what the governor's proposing.
24% seems like a pretty excessive amount of spending. My guess is that in the end, we're not going to end up anywhere close to a 24% increase in spending.
That's Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green. He was on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. In sports, Giannis Antetokounmpo is in New York to get his injured right wrist looked at. He hurt it last Thursday night. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Up now at WarnerStellion.com. Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Cody Cuff, Henny Cuff.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. And we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, I don't say this enough, Wen, but, you know, we're coming from our Ho-Chunk way, we call this Macho Hoodoos, and that means a place where you take blue clay from. And, you know, we're from down southern Minnesota here, too, before there were borders, you know, in Blue Earth and Winnebago and down in that area in Minnesota. And we've had traditional land here up in the Mississippi for tens of thousands of years. So it's always my pleasure to start the show off and remind people that.
Actually, I want to just say this really quickly. You know, yesterday I took our godchild Renzo to the Children's Theater in Minneapolis, and we went to see a little children's show. And before the show, they announced, you know, shut off your cell phone and all that good stuff. But they said, I want to remind everybody that you are on Dakota land, and this is Dakota land. And they did a land acknowledgement there. Yeah. And I was really surprised it was like, wow.
That's good.
Loved it.
Yeah. And, you know, I just ran into a Ho-Chunk that goes to St. Thomas right over here. We're kind of by the St. Thomas College, Wendy and I. And they said that they say Anishinaabe and Ho-Chunk when they do land acknowledgement. Nice. And that's the first I heard of that. So
very cool.
Land back. And speaking of land back, we talk about news that you don't hear anywhere else. And we have Zoe Allen that's going to be doing the news tonight. And we're going to critique it, and we're going to score it from 1 to 10, Zoe. And we'll get back to you on that. But this will be your big shot. And we really appreciate you stepping in here and doing the news that you don't hear anywhere else. Welcome, Zoe.
Me glitch. Yeah, so buju, all my relatives. This is Zoe Allen. I'm a citizen of the Sechangu Lakota of Rosebud and also a descendant of the Anishinaabe of White Earth, which is where I'm currently broadcasting from today. So the first story I have for us comes from the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation News, or CBC News. The Haudenosaunee Confederacy has been able to retrieve sacred objects from a museum in Geneva, Switzerland. This occurred on February 7th, so really recent. A delegation from the Haudenosaunee External Relations Committee traveled all the way to Geneva to retrieve the sacred objects, which included a medicine mask and a turtle rattle, which were in the museum's possession for almost 200 years. The Haudenosaunee people reside in both the U.S. and Canada, for our listeners that don't know. They also consider medicine masks to be a living beings, which are never to be photographed. And you know, that follows along with a lot of indigenous nations who consider virtually everything to have a spirit. So Mohawk citizen Kenneth Deere was quoted stating that it was like the mask was sleeping for 200 years and the mask is now coming back awake. He went on to say that sacred indigenous objects are not wall decor, unlike colonial museums often treat them. The items were first donated to the museum in 1825 by a Swiss historian and politician. It is not known how they came into his possession in the first place, and the process of repatriation took about 7 months after the items were spotted in July 2022 by a Haudenosaunee citizen, Brennan Ferguson. And 7 months is pretty incredible for a repatriation to occur. Usually they take a lot longer. Ferguson went on to say that other museums should follow suit of the Geneva Museum, as they were so swift to process the repatriation request and return the sacred pieces in a formal ceremony. They also had a tree planting ceremony to commemorate the Repatriation Act in Geneva. So also along the same theme of repatriation, this comes from NPR News. The University of Minnesota president, Joanne Gable, is recommending the return of a forestry research center near Cloquet, Minnesota, which is about 4 hours north of Minneapolis, near the North Shore, really close to Duluth, Minnesota. So this land is to be returned to the Fond du Lac Band of Lake Superior Ojibwe. The site in question is 3,400 acres, and it's located 3 miles west of Cloquet. It has been in the possession of the U of M for more than a century. The center itself has been the primary research site for the university since 1909. Originally, the land was reserved for the Fond du Lac Band in the La Pointe Treaty of 1854, and that treaty created a formal division between the Mississippi Ojibwe and the Lake Superior Ojibwe by specifying which bands would belong to each group for future negotiations with the U.S. government. However, federal laws in 1880 allowed for the U.S. government to give, quote unquote, unallotted lands to lumber companies for extensive logging, wherein after the site was gifted to the university, or so returning this land won't necessarily be maybe as easy as the pieces in Geneva. This will require the U of M to contend with the state of Minnesota, who originally owns the land. So it might result in a much longer process. However, returning land requires a lot more than returning sacred objects. So we've, you know, a lot of the tribes in Minnesota have been through this. They know what to expect. But this act of repatriation was inspired by the Minnesota Indian Affairs Council letter that they released in 2020, which called out the University of Minnesota specifically to repair and improve its relationships with the surrounding tribes in Minnesota, as they have a long history of disrespecting and stealing lands. I believe they are a land grab university. And so this is just one act that's following the letter. So the repatriation of this land, however, does not come without some strings attached, as the U of M hopes to negotiate a memorandum of agreement with the tribe so that the school can continue its research efforts. And while this is definitely good news for the Fond du Lac Band, it's kind of, I think it's kind of tricky that they might still have to share this land with the university, because it is rightfully the Fond du Lac's land. And they should have uninhibited control of how the site is managed. I know a lot of other universities in the state, and even the college I went to, McAllister College, have research lands that are used only for students. And I know that McAllister has lands, and I've went and visited them, and they are accessible to most people. However, a lot of people don't know about them. And so here's to hoping that the University of Minnesota's repatriation will set a precedent for other schools to follow in the state. And in other news, this comes from CTV News. Julie Black is drawing attention for a subtle change she made to the lyrics of O Canada at Sunday's NBA All-Star Game. The Juno Awarded winning R&B singer performed the national anthem before the game in Salt Lake City, Utah, and she altered one line to recognize the indigenous peoples who lived on the land before European settlers. So this had a positive reaction, and you know, hopefully this also helps repair relationships between you know, indigenous peoples and sports team, which have a history of being very racist and demeaning towards us. And I had one more, but maybe we'll get to it at the end because it is important. So Jimmy Gwitz and Zoe Allen presenting the news.
Right on. Great job, Zoe. Right, Wen?
Woohoo!
Yes. We might, we'll jump maybe a little bit of her article if it's a quick one, because we got Wendy up next with our sacred animal section.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. Pini Gigi, Zoe Allen for that news update. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women Sexual Assault Coalition.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
This is Winona LaDuke of Honor the Earth, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio, I'm Awake.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents, I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we got one of our super fans up there saying, good job. No, great job, Zoe. Whoa, not good job, great job. But that was awesome. And I understand before we get into
the sacred animal section.
Thank you, Wendy.
Zoe has more news. So go ahead, Zoe.
Thanks, Wendy.
Good, Wendy. Yeah, there was just one more thing I want to promote, an event coming up really soon, February 25th. The Warrior Woman Project recently announced that they're hosting an event to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the 1973 occupation of Wounded Knee, not to be confused with the 1890 massacre at Wounded Knee. So just to remind our listeners, the second Wounded Knee occurred due to a conflict that started between the Pine Ridge Oglala and tribal chairman. And it resulted in a 2.5 month armed conflict between AIM and federal law officials. So the Warrior Woman Project is a collaborative. They recently put a movie out in 2018. I've actually went and saw the movie. I don't know if Robert and Wendy, if you've been able to see it yet. It's really powerful.
Oh, yeah. Bunch of time.
Really centers the work of Madonna Thunderhawk and a lot of the women behind AIM whose stories you don't get to hear about as much. So the event will take place Saturday, February 25th from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. in Porcupine, South Dakota. Some of these activities will include community lunch, a live roundtable discussion with some of the wounded women from Wounded Knee, and interactive oral history exhibit. So it should be really interesting. And if you can't go in person, I know that the event will be live streamed. So I will link their website at the bottom of our stream. But also for our listeners out there, you can just search warriorwomen.org and it should take you to the website and there'll be more information for you there. So.
Hey, wow. Thanks a lot, Zoe. And I will be in Wounded Knee's 50th anniversary. And we're really good friends with the Warrior Woman Project, which Madonna Thunderhawk's been on many times. And also, last time I was there with Clyde Belcourt. Mm-hmm. He asked me to go with him. It was 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And Madonna, who is close to 80, I think she's 82 now, was on a horse. So I'm just like, what the heck? It's crazy. She was driving around on a horse. You don't drive, but that's...
I ride around. Right. But we're city folk.
We drive around in horses. Hey, we got our sacred animal section. And then next, Wendy, we're going to have Dr. Stately of Minnesota Indian or Native American Community Clinic.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to talk slow and you're up.
Awesome. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. But on Friday, I was talking to everyone about the Minnesota groggy bear that woke up and was trapped in a culvert.
What?
Yeah, remember the culvert on the side of the road? See, and us city folk here don't know what culverts are on the side of the road where the water collects. But anyway, this bear made a den, and it flooded with water, and there were a bunch of people trying to save the bear and rescue the bear and, wanting to feed the bear because they figured that the bear would be hungry, and they threw food at him. 6 Pop-Tarts, a head of lettuce, a dead sucker minnow, some Fancy Feast cat food, birdseed, and some Swedish fish. The bear ended up being 400 pounds. He's very healthy, and he was relocated to a state game sanctuary where he will continue to hibernate safely. So I'm glad that those people were able to, get the authorities to come and get the bear. But I've been reading so many instances where bears are hibernating now under like people's houses and decks and porches. And there's a family in Plainsville, Connecticut, who discovered a black bear hibernating under their deck. They found out about it because their dog was growling, and the family looked underneath, and there he was, a bear. And the family said he's massive but super chill. And they contacted the Connecticut Department of Energy Environmental Protection, also known as DEEP, D-E-E-P, and they advised just to leave him alone as long as he's not bothering anybody. And they said, hibernating bears are really not a threat to any human beings. The DEEP people said that they get at least 15 to 20 calls a year about bears denning under decks and porches. And the family joked and said, it's barely been an issue.
Oh, come on.
And listen, they named the bear Marty. The family has made Marty his own account on TikTok and Instagram. And you could check out the TikTok and Instagram page if you look up Marty.com. The Bear. So you could check him out. Yeah. And they want to make his stay as comfortable as possible. And the Deep officials say Marty could stay there between until March or April of until he's finished hibernating. And then there was another instance, a woman in Pike County, Pennsylvania, found a sow, and a sow is a female black bear, and the bear was under her deck along with small cubs.
Oh.
Could you imagine? Yeah, the Pennsylvania Game Commission set up its black bear camera under her deck.
Yeah.
So that you could go on the PA for Pennsylvania, PA Black Bear Den Cam, and you could actually watch live footage of this bear.
Wow.
Yeah. So the Pennsylvania Game Commission said that black bears are not true hibernators. So you'll see her stretch out from time to time and take a yawn. And sometimes she'll start to nibble on the deck above and kind of move around a little bit. And they said that we won't see any of her cubs just yet because she's protecting and nurturing them. Yeah, the Game Commission says she and her cubs present no danger to humans at all, especially the females with the cubs. And she's not going to leave because if she does, of course, the cubs will perish. Mm. So she has to be really careful about that. But again, watch it live on PA for Pennsylvania, Black Bear Den Cam. And I was able to go on and there's a little, I didn't watch it live, but I watched video of it. You could go online and just Google it and the little videos come out and they're already like edited of her moving around and stuff. And she's really, really cute, but she does look sleepy. You know, these bears do look sleepy. But I have seven fun facts about bear hibernation. We'll probably just get to one or two of these. But we've talked about bear hibernation before, and I'm sure if I went on, I could find a lot more people around who have bears hibernating on their property. And I'm just happy about these two families that really are so excited that the bear is there and like kind of chose their place as a really safe, warm, cozy den for them to hibernate throughout their hibernation season, and that they really want to make sure that the bears are comfortable and warm and, you know, that they're not going to bother them at all. They're just going to let them stay there till the end of the season. So I love that so much.
So Yogi and Boo Boo are sleeping on.
Oh, I know. Yogi and Boo Boo.
Hey, Boo Boo. So, go get some of picnic baskets.
Yeah, so both the Pennsylvania Game Commission and the Connecticut Department of Energy and Environmental Protection said that once the bears wake up, they're just going to wake up and leave. They're not, you know, they're not going to cause any trouble. So just leave them there and that's it. But right before they hibernate, bears load up on food, eating up to 20,000 calories a day and gaining as much as 30 pounds a week.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I went to the store today and I, speaking of gaining 30 pounds a week, I went to the store today and I was very hungry while I was shopping, and that's not a good thing to do. Plus, we're going to have a snowstorm here. We're going to end
up with 22 inches
by Thursday. So I got lots of good snacks and lots of good cakes and things to munch out on. So speaking of gaining 30 pounds in a week, that might happen. And I also made today homemade vegan, because I'm vegan, everybody knows that, homemade vegan creamy wild rice soup. So we could have that, Robert.
Wow. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
Is it Leech Lake wild rice?
It is. It's Leech Lake.
Okay,
yes.
I'll eat it then.
Yes. So one more thing here. Baby bears are born in the winter during hibernation and are nursed in the den until they emerge in the spring.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is.
Yeah.
Wow.
So lots of good fun facts about bears and glad people are protecting them and keeping them safe.
Exactly. Hey, We are Native Roots Radio, and up next we're going to have Dr. Stately. And if Dr. Stately doesn't show up, the Native American Community Clinic, I'm sure we have some more bear trivia.
Oh, I have so much.
All right, right on. Hey, and I can do my impersonations of, hey, boo-boo, go get some of picnic baskets. All right, no, I can't. All right, we'll be right back after this short break.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News Brief. President Biden has promised another $500 million in aid to Ukraine during a surprise visit earlier today.
That announcement includes artillery ammunition for HIMARS and howitzers, more javelins, anti-armor systems, air surveillance radars to help protect Ukrainian people from aerial bombardment.
Today marks 1 year since Russia's invasion. Three people have died and another 200 are injured following a 6.4 magnitude earthquake in Turkey and Syria. Anna Foster's with the BBC.
It was very powerful, and what it felt very different to is the many aftershocks. This was clearly another earthquake.
More than 44,000 people died in a massive quake 2 weeks ago. And residents in Plains, Georgia are now sending support to former President Jimmy Carter, who's entered hospice care.
Great man, great president, probably underappreciated by those who don't know much about him.
Carter's 98. CBS News Brief, I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matnair. Here's what you need to know. More wintry weather coming our way. Snow expected to start Tuesday night into Wednesday before warmer temperatures turn it back to rain for southern Wisconsin. As the storm moves west to east across the state, snowfall will continue through Thursday in the central and northern parts. Warmer weather later in the week will create the potential for freezing rain in central and southern Wisconsin. Tomorrow is primary election day. Voters casting ballots among four candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court. The two top finishers move on to the April 4th general election. The eventual winner will determine whether conservatives keep the majority on the court or it flips 4-3 to liberal control for at least the next 2 years. The court upheld President Joe Biden's win in Wisconsin in 2020 by just one vote when conservative Brian Hagedorn sided with the liberal justices to confirm President Biden's win. I'm Jane Matnair. This is Civic Media News.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha. Live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at TheRickSmithShow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
Women get a lot of advice about self-care these days, but one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
On West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, ScotchaMamas.com.
Bijou, I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation. And you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute in Minneapolis.
Hey, we're at Macho Hodus Studios here. See how I threw that in there, Wendy? Kind of
fancy. Can you
say
it once more?
Macho Hodus. Hodus. Hodus.
That means, Minnesota?
It means, yeah, what we call Minnesota or St. Paul, Minneapolis area is a place where you take blue clay from. I can't talk tonight. But that's nothing new. That's nothing new, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, and you know, today is Dr. Stately Day, and we haven't talked to our friendly doctor from the Native, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic, and we're really happy to see you. And Dr. Stately, Wendy and I have a couple questions for you, especially with this snow-nami coming here in the Midwest.
Snowmageddon, yeah.
Oh, good one.
Snowmageddon, yeah. Wow.
Snowmageddon number two, this is the sequel. We had the first one a few weeks ago.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm in an 80s film when you name it like that. It's like, whoa, the shark. And the...
I'm sure it's not the first time you felt that way, actually.
Oh, good one. Hey, Wendy and I were talking during the break, and we were wondering, with our homeless relatives, with this big snow or with big cold coming in, do they even know? And I mean, do they know what's heading that way?
A lot of them won't know. But like organizations like NAC, we have an outreach team that goes out. We have Southside Harm Reduction Services, which is a syringe exchange service and harm reduction provider in the community. There's a number of organizations in South Minneapolis that go and sort of work with our relatives who are unsheltered and houseless. And so they'll go out and they'll try to...
Oop, he just froze. So I guess they'll go out and try to help them and ask them to come to shelter.
Somebody must be playing a video game at his house because he just froze.
Yeah, he needs more expensive internet service at his house there.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah, I'm sure the police will go out, too, and warn them and say, you know, listen, we're expecting a lot of snow. This is really dangerous. You know, I mean, those little tents that I see out there, 22 inches of snow is pretty heavy. God. It could collapse them. It could.
Well, really... they're not the biggest thing either. How do you roll out of there without being like your door covered
exactly.
or the drifting of snow?
Right. Yeah.
So it's hard to know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's other things too, and we're supportive.
Maybe text Dr. Stately and ask him to turn on again.
When the wall of forgotten natives were going on, we were really supportive of what was going on there. Mm-hmm. And it was hard to fathom what was happening there because of there's so much survival stuff going on. Dr. Stately, are you back with us?
I'm back, yeah.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
Cool.
The precursor to Snowmageddon is you lose your internet. but I think basically there's a lot of outreach folks that go out and try to get supplies and things that they need as quickly as we can. That, of course, is not to take care of the fact that we have so many unsheltered relatives in our state. And one quarter, so 25% of all the unsheltered people in the state of Minnesota are Indigenous, are Native American. We have some of the highest rates of unsheltered people in our state. And so, you know, I think it's a good reminder to do things like, you know, carry extra water, carry some more extra socks if you have them, any of those kinds of things that might be helpful and meaningful to like your relatives or our relatives and who are unsheltered. Just extra things in your car that you can hand people if you see someone that needs like, you know, a warm jacket, some mittens, some gloves, some warm socks, dry socks, some water. People oftentimes also can get dehydrated in this weather because the cold air sucks, you know, the like that's why we all get all like dry and ashy in the wintertime, because it's just like the moisture gets sucked from everything. So just like ensuring that we can do things for our relatives to keep them safe. And if you have the ability to sort of host someone, or, you know, take them, give them a hot cup of coffee or a hot chocolate or something like that, I think, you know, a little bit of love and compassion goes a long way.
Exactly. I like what you said there too, and we've talked about that too. Even for your own protection, you want to definitely have those things in your car, but also to be able to hand them out to people that may need it in need. That's a really good point, Dr. Stately.
And we will have a lot of our relatives riding, doing things like riding the buses, riding the trains, those kinds of things. I think doing our part also and trying to help people to understand why we have the situations we have with some of our relatives, doing things like, you know, encouraging, you know, people within your sphere of social influence to sort of be compassionate, understanding as well. So those are all things we can do. So.
Yeah, definitely.
And you can also call your legislator and encourage them to pass some of the bills that are in front of them. There's the governor has a bill going in that is going to provide historic amounts of funding for affordable housing.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Stately, that you bring that up too, because through COVID, we realized that the government's got a lot of money stashed. You know, I mean, nothing was happening, but we were getting bailout money and money here and there, and no taxes were being collected. Mm-hmm. So if there's a will, there's a way, I truly believe. And that tells me the past years that there hasn't been a will to help our relatives out there. You know, we were talking about the Wall of Forgotten Natives. If you look directly to your right from there, when that happened 3 years ago, you see a $1 billion stadium. That's used basically, 20 times a year?
Yeah.
You know, eight times for football and maybe some concerts?
Yep. And the rest of the time it's like, sits empty and costs lots of money to air condition and maintain and do all those things. And, you know, like the governor we have this historic amount of money in our coffers in the state, and, you know, actually, I think the governor's proposed that they pay off the bond on the U.S. Bank Stadium 10 years early. So, you know, that's in theory that will save a lot of costs and interest payments. But, you know, the part of the biggest challenge that we have with some of this stuff is that, like, people are I don't think legislators and decision makers, they end up getting like a lot of, you know, their very livelihood a lot of times is connected to them getting reelected, right? And so part of it is like they go with like, they make poor decisions, or they make the decisions about what a handful of their constituents want within their district without taking a look at the impact on the gestalt, the whole entire spectrum of the community. And they make decisions about like the use of resources based on like what's going to satisfy the, you know, the 51% of the people that are going to reelect them to their office, rather than doing the right thing or the reasonable thing or the smartest thing. Like last year, we could have, if we had been able to have a bipartisan sort of agreement on how to pass a bonding bill, which this last year is the general obligation bond, which we usually do for infrastructure, it was historic low rates of interest. It was like, you know, interest rate was like 0%, you know, and we could have borrowed money on such significantly lower rates of interest than we will this year. This year we'll be paying, you know, 3 or 4 times higher than interest rates on those bonds. The challenge is that people don't always operate from their principled and their spiritually higher ordered self. They oftentimes act from, you know, their own fear and the fear of not being liked by my my neighbor or the person across the street, or the fear of not being reelected to my office because I do something unpopular, quote unquote unpopular.
Not a true definition of a leader. And, you know, that's something that's so bad for us, Dr. Stately, that it'd be great if we could stretch out the representatives to 4 years so they aren't representatives here in Minnesota, so they're not constantly funding and running.
Exactly.
And that's
constantly running campaigns, having to raise money, those sort of things. Also be good if we could like pay legislators for them to put to, right? So they don't have to pay them a fair and livable wage, right?
I missed what you just said there. What did you say that first part?
Oh, pay our legislators a fair and livable wage so they would feel more invested in the process.
Exactly. Hey, we got a minute down to go for this segment. We're here with Dr. Stately, CEO of the Native American Community Clinic. And I noticed that you had a party that we weren't invited to. Yes, Wendy. Yes. And we'll talk to you on the next segment about that. Oh, look, he's shaking his. He put his camera on.
He's back.
Yes. Wow. And we'll give you the third degree on that because that looked like a fun party and a lot of good selfies. But yeah, we have a reason to congratulate you when you come back.
So you have time to think of a good excuse.
Well, wait. We do have more than a minute here now that I'm looking at the clock. So, Dr. Stately, you were celebrating an anniversary there. Can you tell our audience?
Yeah, NAC was celebrating their 20th anniversary. So we opened our doors in February of 2003. So
right on.
This is our 20th anniversary.
We'll be back and we'll talk about that and find out where our table was. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. Oh, go ahead, Wendy. Stay with us. Come on. Boost your immunity and help protect your community. COVID-19 is still here, but it's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help build protection that has decreased since your last shot and provide better protection against newer variants. Boosters are an important part of protecting yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine. ramseycounty.us/COVID-vaccine.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
We are your relatives.
We are your relations.
Brothers.
Sisters.
Sons.
Daughters.
And some of us are your grandchildren.
We are your community. Historically, we held places of honor and respect. Because of the impact of colonization, some of us are rejected, thrown out from family, friends, and community, set up as targets for sexual violence, sex trafficked, humiliated, tortured, and murdered. Everybody has the right to be safe. We are your relatives. Remember,
homophobia is not traditional.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is sponsored by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. Also, Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Oh, Zoe, that was a good one. Zoe's got a good pitch in there. You know, it really
takes
matches.
A lot of practice. But she's doing great.
She's doing great. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we are talking about the Native American Community Clinic's anniversary, and that's exciting. And I know you haven't been there the whole time, but just to celebrate that, and then I saw you had one of the one of our great leaders there, and tell us a little bit about your celebration.
Well, we had a luncheon party, afternoon luncheon, at a Wamni restaurant. We did lunch because we can't afford to have a real party like in the evening. It costs lots and lots of money. But luncheon, it was really nice. It was beautiful. It was in their community room. We opened with a honor song and a prayer from a drum group that is led by a couple of my nephews and a few other folks in the community. I should remember the name. Hokara. Oh, anyway, he's going to kill me when I can't pronounce it rightly, so I'm not going to even try. And then we had a few words from like our table sponsors. We had four tables in that community room, each sponsored by a corporate sponsor of the clinics. We had some really great sponsors who stepped up and helped us sponsor the tables and the event and helped us sort of like celebrate our party. And then it was also an opportunity for us to talk about the soft launch of our capital campaign for our new building. And really grateful to Blue Cross Blue Shield. They were our main sponsor. They gave some really great remarks and applauded us for our work. So it was really nice to see that. The surprise of the day, and then we also had other sponsors, including United Healthcare and Delta Dental, who's been a longtime supporter of the clinic. And then our fourth sponsor was Children's Hospital. But the real surprise was, and you know me, I'm almost never speechless, practically never speechless, right? But the real surprise was when Representative Ilhan Omar stood up to make a couple of remarks, so congratulatory remarks for our organization and our clinic. We are in her third district. And she pulls out a congressional record document that was introduced to led to the Congress on the day before the event, just recognizing NAC and its work that they've done, that we've done over the last 20 years, and the contribution that we make to, not just our city and our state, but also to the work that we do nationally sometimes. Just really beautiful. And I was really caught off guard. I didn't know that was happening. I was stunned. I was going to cry. I think I might have actually sort of kind of cried at that moment. But
I got to give.
I also was really aware that people were taking pictures, and I didn't want to cry in front of anybody because I'm an ugly crier.
I was going to say. And then you had my ribbon shirt on. I saw the red one.
I did. I had.
We could have been twins if we were invited.
Yeah. In fact, people thought I was you. They were asking me.
Okay, David Kanoyer. That's what he always says too. Oh my God.
It was a really beautiful event. It was great to spend time with people and talk about our work and talk about, and do some relationship building. And it was just a really wonderful day, beautiful day.
To
be at that site.
Yeah. And where it is.
Sacred waters, sacred spot.
And also, having Ilhan there is really exciting because I see her around in the community all the time now. And I know she's a fast learner because when she was running, she was on the show a few times, her initial run. And she wasn't really on top of Native issues, but she's really, really, really made up for it.
Yeah, she has. She was, the Congress has passed congressional spending bills, so what they call them earmarks. Federal support for critical projects across the country, and each congressperson and senator, congressman and senator get an opportunity to sort of set in the appropriations bill every year a set of projects that are important to them and to their district. And I think a couple of years ago she supported the American Indian Center I got a large appropriation from her, I think, 2022 congressional directed spending bill. We were in this year in 23 for $1 million from her. So that was our opportunity to thank her publicly for that. And you know, she's done a lot. She tries to show up, I think, on a regular basis and have, you know, meaningful conversations with us that are in the community, that are leading organizations or bringing forth important conversations about the concerns that the community has. She's pretty open to those things. And I don't have her direct cell phone, but I have the next best thing. I have the cell phone of her assistant. So I can always kind of text him and say, hey, I really need to talk to the senator, I mean the representative, about this. So it's kind of, yeah, it's good to see her. She was, you know, it's always lovely to see her.
What a celebration, what a landmark of 20 years. You know, you think about 20 years ago and somebody like Zoe, who's 23 years old, doesn't realize a lot of the strife and struggle it did to have a community clinic like that.
Yeah. So it's an opportunity for me to acknowledge like our beginnings. I tell everybody that like the community really does think of us as their clinic. Mm-hmm. It's not by mistake that their name is in our name. And I think that shows up in all kinds of ways. They really trust us to do what we can to try and help and alleviate, struggling and barriers for healthcare and a number of other areas around social and economic well-being. These are spaces and places we try really hard to sort of move the needle because we know that they're tied directly to healthcare and healthcare outcomes. But we opened 20 years ago with the mission of sort of improving the health of the physical, spiritual, and mental well-being of our relatives in South Minneapolis. And a big part of our mission is also to improve the health equity and the health disparities of the community. And we do a lot of that work now. something I really ambitiously worked towards when I came on as the executive officer was to build more stronger partnerships across the Twin Cities with the other organizations that are doing similar work with us, but also work that was critical for our partnerships and to grow the impact that we can have on the community. And then, also building stronger relationships with state and federal partners that can bring resources to our community to solve really critical situations and issues that are that have a big impact on health, like houselessness. And, we're working with a couple of organizations across the Twin Cities, another Native organization, MIWC, and two African-American organizations to help to develop a birthing justice strategy for Hennepin County to address maternal and child health outcomes for Black and Indigenous women. And that's an example of where we operate in the policy development arena, where we try to use what we understand clinically, you know, how we understand our culture, our community from a cultural lens and other priorities to set an agenda to help change outcomes over the next 5 to 10 years.
Wow. Hey, Zoe, we only got like a minute left. Do you have a question or a statement? We always want to bring the young ones in, Dr. Stately.
I was going to mention the birth justice collaboration, actually. So I'm really glad you got to that, Dr. Stately, because as a former MIWRC employee, I was a part of some of those events and was able to watch some of the panels, and it was just really incredible to see our two communities be able to come together. So here's to more of that type of work. So Chima Butch, for coming on today.
Thank you. I think they're important conversations to have because both of our communities are impacted by colonial structures that put us against each other sometimes and make us fight for limited resources. So.
Good point. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks for...
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads.
Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knuckleheads CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
My mother was very familiar with her neighborhood, but one day she stopped at the stop sign and she wasn't even really sure where she was at.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.